Today, of course, we have a story or a parable about the Good Shepherd. And it's part of a sequence of stories in John's Gospel about the Good Shepherd. First, just a few comments about a parable and how to think about a parable. First of all, typically, I would recommend to you that you not take a parable too literally. Sometimes there are things in the parable which strike us as rather exaggerated or perhaps not true if taken in a literal sense. For example, the idea that a hired hand working with a flock, it doesn't really care about the sheep and would abandon the sheep when the sheep are in need. Now, that doesn't correspond to my experience of sheep herders who are hired, and it probably doesn't correspond necessarily to your own experience of sheep herders who have been hired too. So we would say to ourselves, well, that maybe sometimes it's true and maybe sometimes it's not true. From a literal point of view, we shouldn't be taking it so strictly literal, so on like that. And furthermore, all the parables, you know, they're illustrations or ways of getting us to think about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. The reign of God is like this. Well, the reign of God is not to be limited to a flock of sheep. Now, it's kind of interesting today how our interpretation of parables can change a little bit with time. Today, for example, kind of like our earlier ancestors, we're maybe more tuned into nature, to physical nature, and we might say to ourselves, well, the reign of God isn't just concerned with human beings. The reign of God is concerned with our animal brothers and sisters and with nature. So, how we treat our animals is a kind of indication of how we live out the kingdom of God, which we're trying to express on earth. There was a time when we might have thought to ourselves, well, the kingdom of God doesn't have anything to do with animals. Well, today we think, no, it has a lot to do with animals. The kingdom of God is the creation of God and how we care for the creation of God. So that's kind of interesting as well. So in other words, I'm just trying to say that when we think of a parable, I think what Jesus is trying to do oftentimes, I wouldn't say this is always necessarily the case, but oftentimes Jesus is trying to get us to use our imaginations to think, trying to engage us. And just by using our imaginations, we're somehow making the kingdom of God a greater reality. Instead of just sitting back, no, Jesus said, you know, think, imagine, try to, what is this, you know, what does it, what thoughts and images does this raise in you? And just that arousal of your imagination sometimes is the vehicle through which new things can come into being. And Jesus is trying to get us to have the new life of the reign of God come into being. So that's my first point. So what I say then is simply my reflections, and they're not exclusive of yours. You may have some different things that come into your imagination, and that's your way of bringing into being the reign of God. And they're equally valid, if not more valid. The second thing is, we're talking here, we have these images here of the shepherd with his flock and laying down his life for his flock and so on like that. And of course, when you think of a flock, you are thinking of a group. So you might say the image, one image that may come to mind for you out of all of this is this idea that it's the sheep are in their comfort zone. And they're meant to be in their comfort zone. They're meant to feel secure and they're meant to feel safe. So likewise, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, which we are meant to try to bring into being in our own time and culture, the church here, we're meant to be expressions of what it is to feel safe. We should be a people and a place in which people can feel safe, can really be in their comfort zone and feel secure, and know that they're not going to be abused. I remember when I was a young priest and I was working one summer in a parish I was, you know, sent to school to study for my doctorate, but in the summertime I missed parish life and I wanted to do some parish work, so I asked the bishop to put me in a parish if there was one available. And I remember in this particular parish there was a family in which there was just horrible domestic abuse occurring. And I learned about it and did my best to help the people. But I thought to myself, and the wife and the kids who were the victims of this horrible abuse, they would come to me and they'd come to the parish. And I look back on that and I say to myself, they felt so insecure, so unsafe in their home. But at least they could have a moment of safety and security in the church and in the community of the church. And that was, to me, always a very important image, even though we weren't able to really do as much as perhaps we could do today. Things were quite different in a sense then. But that's kind of, I think, what Jesus is trying to say. We want to be a place where people can feel safe and secure. And the church's job is to do that, no matter how much that might upset a lot of people. I remember in the case of the husband, he was very upset, didn't like me involved, being involved at all. And different people have their views about how to do these things, whether to even intervene at all. And so this, the church as a symbol and a sign of comfort, a comfort zone, safety zone. And you can apply that to all sorts of things. You know, like, for example, what's going on at the border, these poor refugees coming in. Now, people have their political views about this. I understand. When you get into concrete proposals about how to deal with issues, it's always something. But the church will always be on the side of those who are threatened. That is what our job is. We will always be on their side. We may argue about how concretely to make things better, but that we are not going to be on their side? No. The church must always be a safety zone for people. I don't care what we think politically. Now, how we do that politically? Well, that's different. We can argue that, hopefully respectfully. But that we must, as a church, try to be this safety zone for people. We have no choice. We have no choice. As the text from 1 John says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Now, so that's the second point. Comfort zone, the church is called to be the safety area for people. And we're not being church if we don't try to do that as best we can. Third point, you notice that Jesus, I never really kind of noticed this so much before reading this thing here. The text goes on to say, Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. So if you can imagine, we have this comfort zone here. We're together. We're feeling comfortable. Things are kind of good and so on. Feel secure. So here at St. Paul's, you know, we're together. We feel comfortable. We feel good, secure. Don't rock the boat. One of the problems with feeling comfortable is that we can feel too comfortable. And we don't grow. We don't stretch ourselves. The church has a lot to do with love, extending ourselves out. So we have a comfort zone. And so part of what Jesus is trying to say is, one way to read this, not the only way, is to say we need to extend this out as far as we can. In other words, we need to be Catholic. Catholic in the sense Catholic means universal. We have to be open. We have to open ourselves and stretch ourselves out. So you have, like, for example, if you didn't know anything about sheep, as I'm sure you do, you know that one of the functions of the sheep herder and of the good sheepdog or dogs or whatever is to move the sheep, keep them going. Keep them going, because they like where they are, and you have to keep them going. So, in the summertime, you move them up the hills where it's cooler and more enjoyable, and there's, the plants and stuff that they can eat and so on like that. And then as the winter comes, you move them back down where it's going to be warmer, and the lambing can take place and all of that. So you have to move them out, so on. Now, Jesus is going even one step beyond that, and he's saying, not only do we have to do that, but we have to really go outside the flock and open ourselves to others and bring them in. Things that we might not be inclined to want to do. Excuse me. So we need to ask ourselves, in what ways do we do that? In what ways does St. Paul's do that? Well, part of the way that St. Paul's does that is through the thrift shop. It extends itself. We extend ourselves to others. And how else can we do that? Now, we don't have to go so far as what happened to me last year. Somebody called me on the phone and told me that he somehow got my name off the parish directory here, got my phone number, and called me on the phone and said, I'm in $10,000 in debt. I need $10,000. Can you write me a check for $10,000? And he wasn't even a member of the parish. So I don't know if we can go quite that far sometimes. So I put him in touch with my police officer over here. So how are we extending ourselves? That's the thing. What are we doing there? How are we stretching ourselves? So again, you get into some of these touchy political issues, like the border issue, which is sensitive to me because of my Hispanic background. But we all have our issues that are sensitive to us. So what do we do? What do we concretely do? Sometimes we can, the most we can do in our situation is just learn about something instead of just wallowing in our own present state of knowledge, which may not be much. Learn. Sometimes just learning is a good thing to do. Or talking to people. Like, for example, what's going on now with the issue of the black racism issue, and then the police force and the use of force and all of this. Now, we need to learn before we pontificate. How do we talk to police? Do we talk to people who've been abused, who felt that they've been abused by police? We just need to learn first before we blab. That's opening ourselves up. Nothing wrong with that. And then maybe we can go further. Same thing with what's going on the border and so on. There's no lack of problems that we have. And if we are aware of them, just the fact that we're aware of them, and if they bother us, that might be a sign from the Lord. The Lord is calling us. Okay, if this bothers you so much, then we need to do something about it. Positively. Guided by the gospel. And maybe that will turn into something very fruitful and helpful. I think that's the idea. So my final point then would be that this kind of tension between what we could call familiarity, the familiar, and the strange or the new. So part of the image from the gospel today is, familiarity. We are like the sheep. We feel comfortable. We are surrounded by the familiar. And there's nothing wrong with that. Familiar comes from family. So we feel like we're in a family situation. And, we should feel, therefore, protected and guided and so on. That is so important to have that. There's that God called, that's part of what we're to do, is to ensure that that can be the case. But then the text is telling us, but we can get too comfortable. We can get too comfortable. And we don't extend this safety zone to others. And we need to do that. Open ourselves to the different, to the new, to the strange. widen the comfort zone. So this would be one way in which I would recommend thinking about today's gospel.